You spend time with your family?
Sure I do.
Good. Because a man who doesn't spend time with his family can never be a real man.
Podfathers, episode 3, the delivery episode. I'm KFC. To my left is Dikembe Mutombo. To his left is your boy Uncle Chaps. We're 2 episodes in. We've taken you from the point of understanding you're about to be a father to the 9-plus months where you're dealing with your pregnant wife and she's dealing with you. And so now we're here. We've made it to the what seems to be the finish line, even though in reality it's the starting line. We're on to the big delivery day. It's terrifying. It's exciting. It's relieving in a way because you're done with the pregnancy process and all those things we talked about last episode are hopefully coming to an end or changing in a way. But a bigger type of stress is coming your way, one that you can't really prepare for or anticipate or ever really understand, and that is the baby actually arriving.
And let me just say that whole process, if I order anything online that's not from Amazon Prime, I feel like it takes fucking forever to get there. Like, tracking FedEx and shit, like, throughout the entire thing. So anything that takes 9 months is an eternity.
Yeah, no, that this day and age, 9 months. The whole thing, it's so weird that it's relatively down to the day, in a way, for almost everybody. And it's a strange process. This is where the app that we talked about last episode drove me fucking crazy. Because I don't know about you guys, we were a few days late, and when your wife is still opening that app, when it's like, you should have delivered by now, but if not, your baby's the size of a goddamn boulder, and she's just like, nah! Ah, where's this baby? Why don't I want to come out?
It goes from like a watermelon to Mount Kilimanjaro or something.
It's just huge by that point.
And all their girlfriends were earlier on time, and it's always a thing. I mean, it goes back to even before they're pregnant. It's always competition with the girlfriends.
Did you guys have any like concurrent pregnancies that were like
we did the class.
Oh right, so you had that whole crew. My brother and his wife, she was pregnant, and she had her best friend from college was a few weeks ahead of us, and so everything is comparing, and everything is like, what about this and what about that, and how come we're not going yet, and how come we're worried that we're. I was 100% anticipating a father of the bride sort of situation where my brother and me are both in the hospital at the same time with our wives delivering.
So, which hospital do the parents go to?
Yeah, I mean, everybody was ready to split up. We're like, you know, game planning for the worst case scenario. So we were our situation. We were a few days late, and again, this is. Let me just say this about the high risk stuff. Like, obviously, the doctor tells you you're high risk, you got to take that seriously. But like, we got to a point where it was like, all right, we're not really high risk anymore. It was high risk about like getting through a certain portion of period of time, and now we're just normal. But
now we're eating turkey sandwiches, not giving a crap.
Because we're doing shots and eating turkey, and somebody get some sushi out here. Let's do some coke too, whatever. So we were also told like you're high risk, so you might go early, and so we're kind of like. Thinking, all right, maybe we're going to get like a week in advance, and we end up being basically like a week late. Not a week. It was a few days, but we thought, and that
week is ridiculous.
Did you go past your due date?
I don't know.
I was like, I think we're a little early too, but I don't want to say yes or no.
Sure. All right. Well, either way, when you're coming down to the wire, that last week where you really are in that. I mean, I'd say anything within that last month. It could be go time at any moment. It could be green light. But really, when you get down to that week and those final days, it's Chaps, you were talking about opening Christmas presents and birthday presents. I mean, it's that times a billion where you just want. It's Christmas Eve, and you want Christmas morning to get here worse than ever.
How you feeling? You feeling all right? We need to. You need to grab the bag, or
right. I had a funny way this all unfolded because we were late. We called our doctor. We were like, we want to get induced. She set an inducement date, and so it was Friday night. We went in at 10:30 p.m., and so it was weird. It took out all of the drama of it all, which already I think is kind of mitigated in general. I think people expect it to be like the movies where you're going to be wheeling her down the fucking hallway in a wheelchair, flying, trying to find the doctor. And when it's your first kid, it's actually like a 93-hour process where you're going to have plenty of time to get there and worry about how long it's going to be, not how short it's going to be. But we had this inducement date set, and it was just like, all right, well, we'll pack a bag and we'll leave here. It was like going on like a trip. Like, all right, we're leaving for the weekend. It's Friday night. Let's hop in the car.
And I feel like that's a specific thing, too, because you can get one of those older, like, midwives or one of the older, like, OBGYN nurses who can speed things along. Like, because my wife, when we went in, she was like 4 centimeters. And they're like, well, we can't admit you until you're 5. And like, my wife was pretty clearly in pain. And yeah, so the, like, older woman comes in, she was just like, we're right. And like,
there's your 5th centimeter, dude.
And she's like, well, I'll do this myself. And she starts pulling stuff out. And I'm just like, she's not a fucking pumpkin.
Clem, you'll really appreciate this. This is probably one of my favorite stories. I don't even know if I've told this or blogged this, but the night of, the minute of, so it's like 10:25, and all of a sudden rumors start swirling on Twitter that Michael Kadire has retired from the Mets. Michael Kadire was just straight up stealing cash from the Mets, and he was a total bust of a pick, of a signing, and I'm tweeting about it and the clock's ticking. And I'm like, there's no way this dude actually retired. He's not going to leave $12 million on the table. It's like 10:29 and we're ready to go. And the news breaks that he officially did retire. So my wife is legit packing things, putting on her jacket. And she's like, what are you doing?
Oh, my God.
And I look at her and I was like, I go, I'm putting up a blog. And I was like,
oh, my God.
The fire came out of her eyeballs. Steam came out of her ears. She was like, are you fucking kidding me? And I was like, but Michael Kadire's retiring. It's like, that's really good for the future. We just cleared a spot for Conforto. Like, I gotta put this up. So I'm like, boom, 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 boom. And I'm trying to put up the little thumbnail. And you know how that's
so
the
you keep going?
Pacer. I had to get it
oh
up.
Oh, my God.
I had to get it up. I had to get
Dude.
It up. I press publish. I close it. We route the door. And she's already mad at me.
I'm legitimately shocked there's still gold around your finger.
Right?
Like, legit.
It was not my finest moment as a dad.
I told my wife about that because I think you tweeted something about, like, the first memory
at
of.
At least I'm not like Kevin.
Yeah. And she was like, he did what?
And she's mad at you for.
Yeah, I'm getting heat. Like, you work with this guy? This
Yo, is the guy. That was a big moment for the Mets. The two most important things of my life, my wife and the Mets. Come on. They happen to break at the same exact time. News breaks, water breaks. Come on.
That was the yin and the yang. One career ending, another beginning. Right?
I was honestly
16
having
years
weird
from now,
thoughts.
Shay's going to be listening to this and being like,
you son
wasn't
of a bitch.
It wasn't even that exciting. Christmas Day, my ass.
But that was weird because it was like, well, we're just getting in the car. It's not like there's any rush right now. We scheduled this thing. Anyway, we hop in the car and we're driving there, and she's like, oh, my back is killing me. And I'm like trying to rub it as I'm driving. She's propping herself up. We get to the hospital and she's having contractions in the back. She's having back contractions instead of the front. So
yep.
We were like ready to be induced, and they were like, you're already dilated and like in labor. I was like, it's your job to let me know when this is happening. You couldn't even tell me that? Come on.
See, ours was completely the opposite. Like, my wife was, I think because she was dreading the process of actual labor, she was like,
Nope.
I'm completely fine. Ate some spicy stuff and like, okay. And I'm like,
it's just heartburn. It's just like,
then I'm driving like the whole way there, and she's like, can you not hit every bump? I'm like, sure. Like, I'll just get the portion of my Chrysler 200 that throws out new asphalt in San Antonio and make the roads better. But I'm like driving. I'm like, okay, sure, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, let me avoid all the bumps because you're definitely not having contractions right now, right? Yeah. How did you get to the hospital?
Fresh off of the nipples being rubbed that night. Once we realized we could stop rubbing the nipples, they're like, all right, you can stop now. We said, you know what? We're just going to go in. We had done our walks. We crossed every myth and legend off the list. And we said, time to go on in. And she was having contractions. I think they were back contractions as well. But they're like, listen, we could send you home and then you're just going to come back in 2 hours because it's pain. They're like, we're just going to, you know, get you in for the night. So we checked in that night, and then we had a full day the next day.
Yeah. I feel like our wives are going to be really happy when these three are over, so we're done talking about, like, their vagina and their nipples. I feel like they're going to be like, okay, let's get in. I didn't know this was going to be a vagina cast.
Let's talk about proverbial vaginas instead of our actual vaginas.
This, though, is that story, the nipple story and the Michael Kadire story are why the Podfathers is going to work as a podcast, because that's the real shit. That's the wacky shit that happens.
Nobody else writes the blog.
Yeah. Nobody else is putting
McGraw
that
Hill
in.
Doesn't give you that shit.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, that's the weird part about going into labor is that you don't know when to go, when not to go. Did you go too early? Are you going to go too late?
Especially with your first. You're kind of just guessing off of your parents or whoever else you know that's had a kid recently.
And you hear stories of someone going too early or then they have the full day and it's like, well, I probably should have hung out. Because especially you get there and they're like, they don't let you eat. That's it. Yeah. Once you're admitted, your wife ain't eating again. So, you know, maybe sneak that last turkey sandwich in there or something because you ain't eating.
Ladies, please don't eat turkey sandwiches because this blogger told you to. All right, I'm just going to say this from this side of the table.
Eat the turkey. I just found it was like, we didn't really have that whole experience again because of this inducement thing. But I was like, if you're in pain and it's starting to get weird and you don't know what to do, go to the hospital. Go find someone who does. Because you're not an expert. You're going to sit there and be like, no, we're fine. We're just going to hang out here a little longer, go for a walk and all that shit. Once you're at that point where you're like, I don't know what to do, and it seems like she is hurting or freaking out, go find a professional.
Yep.
It's just like anything else in general. If something bad or scary is going on, go get help.
One good tip. Don't worry about being the parents that get sent home from the hospital. I know that's a big concern. It was a concern for us. She's like, I don't want to get there and look silly by us having to go back. Worst thing that happens, you have to drive back across town.
Right.
Like, that's
not the end of the world.
You'd much rather do that than end up having your baby on top of your duvet cover.
Some Iman Shumpert shit where you're giving birth in the bathroom. We'll talk about it later once the babies are born. I think the same thing, too, about, like, if your baby's ever really sick. It's like, if you go and the doctor's like, come on, this is no big deal.
Don't be worried about appearance.
Yeah. But if it's not, it's always better to be safe than sorry.
Err on the side of caution, my friends.
Yes, sir.
So we roll into the hospital, and because we had this, like, everything planned out, and everybody has their go bags, but the fact that we had it down to, like, the hour, the minute that we were going to go, we roll in with so much shit that the nurse was like, you guys moving in or what? And I was like, you know what? Maybe I am. Fuck you. If I want this pillow and these sweatshirts and this, that, and she wants all of these pairs of slippers, I'm bringing all of it. Anything I might think I could potentially need right now to get through this is coming with me because I'm terrified right now. So save your fucking jokes.
And get used to that because for the rest of your life, you are no longer bringing a minimal
duffel
amount
bag
of shit anywhere. Like going to the beach. You're bringing all kinds of. You're moving to the fucking
beach.
You'll
pack up half your apartment every time you leave the place. It's insane.
You want to go to the beach? No, because I don't feel like carrying all that shit.
My father-in-law told me from the jump, he was like, the worst thing is packing up the car. And I was like, I mean, how bad could it be? And then I started going through it. I was like, yep, no, this is absolutely terrible, where you have to bring every single piece you own, and it's a goddamn puzzle. It's like a Jenga Tetris thing. I got a dog and a kid. I'm like, if I have another one, I'm ready to just be like, give me a minivan. Just do it. Just let me bite the bullet. Cause I got a Jeep and the Jeep's not enough. I'm gonna get a bigger truck and that's not gonna be enough. Just give me the biggest thing you can find because I gotta move my entire apartment everywhere.
Your boy's got an F-250 and a minivan. I'm ready.
Yeah, dude, I need it.
Basically getting Tetris. You're getting the blocks, but there's nowhere to put the big old squares. You're just like stack. Game over.
Yeah. I can pull anything or pack up anything. I'm ready to go no matter where we're going.
That's what's up. That's the way to be. So we move in. And she's already cracking jokes.
Are you guys all, I don't know how it goes, I would imagine, are we all in a room by ourselves? Because we had a solo room.
Yeah, right? we paid like the extra for that.
Yeah, we had solo room too. For the delivery, the recovery, there was, I don't know. I'm not sure. My memory's not good.
I know that we delivered.
We were solo. I don't know if there's I would imagine if you can, it's always, you know, but our hospital was packed. I'm sure you're in the city, right?
Yeah.
Both solo. Just came back to me.
Solo. Yeah. We did both solo. I think we had to pay a little extra for either the recovery. I think it was standard that you got to deliver by yourself, sure. But then the recovery was a little extra. And
it's terrifying enough being in the delivery room for your baby, let alone if someone's delivering next door. No thanks.
Right, and their family's coming in, and you know they're already worried about germs and all that. Everybody's got their own financial situation. If you can spring for it, I 1,000,000,000% would recommend that, because it's the most stressful thing you're ever going to go through. It's the scariest thing. It's the best thing. It's a moment you want to share with your family and her and just your kid. You don't want you. Who knows who's next to you? You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah, it's like going to the beach and you're either going to get the ocean view room or the road room. Like, if you're at the beach, pay the extra money.
Yeah, exactly, man. This is not the time to start skimping. You know what I mean? So we roll in. Not only do I bring like my entire apartment, I packed like every snack under the sun.
Bratty.
But again, not really realizing she wasn't able to eat them. So that was a real interesting dynamic for me where, we're sitting there for hours eventually, and I'm like, I really want to eat those Doritos, but I know that she's starving. And she was like, no, go ahead. Like, you can eat it. I'm like, that's a trap. That's a trick. That's a trap. I'm not going to even touch those Doritos. So now I got all these clothes and all this shit and every possible food I could have just sitting there. And that's when we were in it for the long haul. Did you have your own?
Yeah, we had all the snacks. My wife is like a notorious, like, big time planner about anything and everything, which is one reason why our marriage works so well, because I'm like complete opposite. I'm like, we'll figure it out when we get there. But ours was different for the second one because older one still had school the next day.
Oh,
I had just started college, like, so I had exams coming up like right then, and so it was a balance of making sure to get home to see the little one, like at that time the 6-year-old, like if she was doing okay. My grandma was in town for that, too. Luckily, she happened to be there because my dad, shout out to my dad for having a stroke. He was in the hospital at the time. So it was,
jeez,
it
was,
I was, cow. I was on my process out of the Marine Corps going through like really intense like PTSD treatment. It was just like so many things at the same time.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I just was texting with my wife before we jumped in the room. And I was like, anything that you want me to add about when you had the baby? She's like, yeah, just go ahead and casually mention that you were a dickhead a lot. I was like, okay. So there you go, baby. I did it.
So I've got a bunch of snacks I can't eat. Chaps is being a dickhead.
Yeah. I'm just being rude to everybody.
And what's the Clembe doing?
I mean, we're set because we live about 5 minutes from the hospital. My parents live
Golden.
30 seconds from us. So anything we forget, we know we're good. Think like we forgot a bag that had a couple of things, but we were pretty much set. With all the basics, you know what I mean? We knew we were going to be fine, if not. The one thing we didn't bring that we knew we were going to have to bring, or we were going to need later, is a nice fresh turkey sandwich for when she did have the baby.
Yo, so that's funny you say that. I guess this is probably a similar thing for everybody, but I was just like last week, we were talking about this whole process, and the first memory she threw out is how she had a big-ass turkey sandwich right afterwards.
Yep.
I went across the street, got it from Bagel on the Upper East, and she was like in heaven crushing a turkey sandwich on a poppy seed bagel.
Someone ate our bagel.
Oh,
out of the refrigerator.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Coley's in the room. He's not happy right
Holy
now with that
either. Shit.
And she took it like a trooper. She was like, all right. And we're like, all right, I will go get you a sandwich.
So you
now.
Get on there and you're like, I don't know who you are. You don't know him, but I have a particular set of skills.
I will find you.
I guarantee.
Well, that's low, man.
That's
stealing
low.
A bagel in that situation.
Oh, man.
That's
turkey sandwich. Full
low.
Blown turkey sandwich. All the trimmings, exactly how she wanted it. Brother went out during the delivery to
and
get
Clem's
it. So
like,
it was nice
that's
and
fucked
fresh.
Up. They ate yours, but thank God they left mine.
Should have got roast beef because I'm over here chowing down. So, did you guys prep any like entertainment? We downloaded a few movies.
Oh man, we had the whole kit and caboodle. We had both iPads loaded up. We had the TV in there.
I think I downloaded like 6 or 7 seasons of
shout out
TV shows.
The Pirate Bay for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Torrenting everything.
But looking back on it, I think I spent like probably like $100 on iTunes buying things to download them. Like, labor can be long. It can be that long, Kevin. I must have had like 75 hours of entertainment ready to rock.
Yeah, we had the iPad loaded up, but we were also cool with just the TV. That night, I think we went in on a Monday. It was Panthers somebody, because I remember I lost my fantasy matchup. I'm like, Panthers Eagles. I'm like, you
the things that stick out in your brain.
Greg Olson, if you're listening, you're stealing. Fuck you, man. You murdered me
you
that night.
You ruined the night my kid was born, you prick.
But we had the TV in the room, and we just were like, just get this kid out of us. You know what I mean? So we didn't have as much entertainment.
Yeah, you caught it too.
Yeah, you caught it. I'm in trouble. Sorry, babe.
We had to give birth. Yeah, we.
This is one thing that we had that I don't know how many people do. My wife brought, she had talked to her doctors beforehand about it. And she said, can I bring music and a speaker into the room, like an iPod? Mm-hmm. And they said, yeah, sure, no problem. She loads it up with her favorite mix and she goes, you know, there's a couple of, and it by a couple, it's like 90% early 2000s. We're talking Luda, Nelly,
yes,
and Little John and the East Side Boys on there.
Backseat, windows up.
And we told them that, and they said, play it as loud as you want, you know, because like the rooms weren't, like there weren't a lot of people. We had our own room, and we're just playing the music, and our doctor goes, we have two doctors, like a doctor and a nurse, and they're going, East Coast, West Coast. And I'm like, what is going on right now?
No, you stop that. We can do that. Yeah. You're my doctor. Like you're not supposed to know any of this shit.
There's like a pause in the contraction. Is like, it's dark and hell is hot.
We're in the middle of pushing. My wife's in the middle of pushing. And all of a sudden you hear, brum, bum, bum. And I got up from holding my wife's hand, and I said, my daughter is not going to be born, as they say, from the windows to the walls. Dude, sweat drop down my balls. I said, no way, no how.
Turn it off, put on some like Mozart
feeling,
or something.
Your wife's feeling, she's like, oh, hell yeah.
That's like her favorite song of all time, too. So God bless her. But I was like, no way, no how. If it was a boy, I could maybe talk myself. Not a girl.
Not a girl. No, not happening. That is up there. I might be able to top it, though. Because the movie that my wife inexplicably picked to watch, and this is not a movie she would ever think was funny, with her normal brain, this is full blown pregnancy brain, we put on Ted 2. And my doctor walks in the scene where Mark Wahlberg has the whole wall of cum fall on him. I don't know if you've seen the movie.
Yep.
And she was like, oh, like what is this movie? And we're like, it's Ted, you know, like with like the funny, like little cute teddy bear. And she's like, oh yeah, I think I've heard of that. And it was also a nurse came in, and it was a scene where Ted is like, what kind of porn are you watching here? What is this, rim jobs? Like Asian rim jobs? And I was like, oh my God. And my wife's trying to like talk over it. Like, so anything else that we should know right now? Just like keeping talking. And then the doctor shows up when Mark Wahlberg is covered in semen. I was like, we couldn't have picked, I don't know, like The Notebook or something. We had to watch Ted 2 with the cum.
Now,
all
is
people.
Your wife a Ted fan? Like a,
never.
She's not a comedy fan like that, right?
She hates like dumb, silly comedy shit like that.
Personal.
No, trust me, bro. She is like the last person who would ever pick that movie and want to watch that movie. And I was like, all right, whatever you want, boo.
Pregnancy brain, man.
That's like, yeah, okay. Did you guys do...
Speaking of rim jobs, buttholes are a big concern in the pregnancy room. Everybody's concerned about they're going to poop themselves.
Yeah.
It's a big issue.
Because you probably are.
Yeah, it's like... And always say, no, you didn't. Even if they did, you didn't.
Even better. Clem, what's the one rule when you're in there?
Don't be a hero. Stay above the
wall. Stay above the wall.
Oh, no.
Jon Snow.
You're
defend
nuts.
The wall from the top, not the bottom.
I was going to say, even better than lying...
No, disagree. I was going south of the wall.
No.
Yeah, you're also a Marine, man.
I was ready.
You've seen some shit we haven't, all right? All right? I was going to say, you don't even have to tell her she didn't poop. You can be like, I don't know, because I wasn't watching, because I've been above the wall where you are.
The only
Jon
part...
Jon Snow, fight from the top, not the bottom. That's the smartest way. Do not listen to what Chaps is about to say. Do not listen to
the
it.
The worst part...
That's it. You kicked off. Turn off his mic. You kicked off the Podfathers.
The visual is not bad. Like, the visual is all right. Like, you see your baby coming out. You can get over
Dude,
that.
Dude, no. The visual's terrible.
This is the worst. If they need to use the scissors, the sound of the cut is something that is engraved into your brain forever.
I think it's all.
I don't remember shit. I don't remember where I parked. I don't remember any of that stuff. But I will always remember the sound of the scissors.
And so will Coley, who is in this room, and he's never going to have kids now because he just heard this story.
I'm an expressive man, and I feel like I can explain things well, but I won't go into what it sounds like. In case you're driving, I don't want you to pass out.
Yo, this is the episode we'll call like audio birth control for like everybody. Nobody's going to want to have kids after this one because we're talking about the sound of scissors. God bless these chicks who have to go through this stuff. It's un-fucking believable.
If guys had to give birth, the human species would have been gone eons ago.
Wouldn't have even gotten started.
Yep, not
like,
even started.
Nah, I'm not doing that.
That comes through this? No.
No way.
After 9 months of hell? Nope. We'd just be drinking and eating turkey sandwiches the whole time.
Can you just hear the doctor be like, you don't want to rip, so we got to cut. And you're just like, mother of God.
Goalie can't take it.
Batten down the hatches!
I mean, there's the scissors, there's the ripping, there's the... Sometimes you got to use the suction thing. That's somebody wanted me to shout that out.
People say it's beautiful, but in reality, it's a violent fucking process. Man. It's a violent process. It is.
It's a violent game, like the NFL.
Yeah.
It's a violent game.
It's what it is. The only thing that's beautiful is the bow that goes in the hair at the end. Like, the rest of it is pretty
gross
violent.
And gross and weird and scary and painful.
Yeah.
Did you, everybody chooses their own way to do it. I think you are a lunatic if you don't get an epidural, though.
Oh, so fun epidural. This is the story that my wife also said to say. She's like, make sure you remember to tell him that I looked right at the anesthesiologist, right?
Mm-hmm.
She was like, she looks at him. He touches her on the side, and she's like, crazy ticklish. Like, she would. Like, you know, like when people are like, hey, don't tickle me, I'm ticklish. My wife
will swing on you.
She will, she will fucking Hannibal Lecter your ass and like get like a nice Chianti and eat your fucking liver. So he touches her on the side and she's like, don't you fucking tickle me, you motherfucker. And this guy's like a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force. And I'm a sergeant at the time. So he's like 10 ranks ahead of me. And he's like, if you speak to me that way again, I will walk out. And she's like, well, like looking at me like, are you going to do something? And I'm like, can we just try again? Like, like, babe, let's just.
Chap's like, pardon me, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Please don't tickle her, you motherfucker.
So she ends up getting it like right in the nick of time. And the pain was like so much less for her. She was like,
yeah.
And I don't want to like, sorry, babe. It was still a lot of pain,
right,
but it took the edge off. Like, it seemed like it took the edge off for a minute.
I mean,
it was pretty intense.
I was like, we rolled through the door. I was like, let's get the epidural. Let's do it right now. And, you know, they say-
You want one, fuck.
Yeah. They say it can slow down the process of moving things along because you're numb. So she was trying to make it like as long as she could. But like every 2 minutes, I was like, do you need the epidural? Do you need the epidural? Do you want the epidural? I'll get the epidural. Like, I should have had like my home kit. I should be like, here's the epidural. I'll give it to you.
The king of pain, Barstool's king of pain meds over here. He's just like, hit the button, baby.
You're acting like Chris Kyle from the waiting room, like waiting for them to open the door so you can stick her with a dart in the leg. Like, oh, you don't.
Yo, whatever it takes, man. I mean, everybody has their own way of doing it. But I just think like, it's funny that. How has the human race not evolved into a better way of doing this? Because they're like, oh, it's natural. I'm like, this looks like the most unnatural thing I've ever seen. You're pushing like an alien out of you that's this big, and the hole is this big, and none of it makes sense. It's crazy to me. How have we not figured out, like, we should be laying eggs or something? That seems a lot better.
We have Wi-Fi. We have Wi-Fi, but we haven't evolved as a species to make this non-scissor.
We're about to go to Mars. Elon Musk could have sent us to Mars for $200,000, and we're still snipping things with scissors. It ain't right. It's just we need to be better as a species. We need to evolve. The system is not working.
And
it
that's
takes
why,
too long, and it's way too painful.
And that's why the phrase, that dude is a pussy, makes no sense, because those things are tough.
The toughest things in the world. Way tougher than dicks.
The line completely be that dude's testicles.
Yeah, that
weak.
That dude is like, it should be like, you're a real penis. You're a real like flaccid, lame, soft pussy penis.
You know, I disagree, and our friend Coley here, he knows I disagree. I feel like you could run a penis over with a truck and you wouldn't feel it, but you touch the testicles, and that's where the pain comes from.
You're a ball. You're
that is true. I don't know if you could run over my penis with a truck, though. That would still hurt. The tip can be sensitive,
That'd be
too.
A good video.
Content.
So I'm all about the epidural. Did they make you leave the room when she got it?
They made me sit down.
Oh, no, I'm watching everything.
I wasn't allowed. I was like,
my tattoos. I watched whenever they did surgery on my arm after I got shot.
I was like,
I love it.
For real, I'm Bring good. I'm good okay. Time. And they were like, we will not do it unless you leave. I was like... all right, well, I guess I'm leaving. But they were like,
you
they
need
said, they
from
said
Target,
that
babe?
Dad, they said that dads were more prone to pass out for the epidural than the birthing process. I was like, I find that highly difficult to believe, but yeah, whatever. You're all the experts here. I want this shot to be done as quick as I can.
I think because the needle's so
outside.
Long.
Yeah, and I mean, it's
like a 5-incher.
Right, it's like going right into your spine, but like, I don't know. I watch some weird stuff on the internet. I watch Faces of Death. I've seen some weird Russian stuff. I feel like I can watch a needle.
I feel like you should just be able to say, I work at Barstool. And be like,
yeah.
Oh, no,
you're good. Yeah,
you're fine.
Yeah.
I fast forward Mufasa dying still. To this day, I still can't watch Mufasa die. I'll leave the room.
Hey, Clem, how about a spoiler alert?
Yeah, spoiler alert. Sorry, guys. The new real life Lion King that's coming out, they're going to be ruined.
Simba's dad dies? What? No, no.
That's upsetting. Wait till you hear about Harambe.
I mean, things get exponentially better, although they're still horrible.
The doctor said to us, too, I'm sorry, the doctor said to us to go listen, and it was, like, very serious, right? We're going to have to give you an epidural. And my wife's like, yep.
Yep,
you were the same way, too,
yeah,
right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yep, bring it on
she,
in.
I mean, she was at a point where she was like, I think it's time. And we had heard a horror story recently, right before that, of a girl who waited as long as she could and then was like, okay, I'm ready. And they were like, all right, he has three other people to hit before you, so he'll be here in about like 20, 25 minutes. And so I was like, you need to really say 30 minutes in advance of when you think you're going to need it that you want it just in case something like that happens, because that was the longest 25 minutes of that girl's life waiting for that guy to come around.
That's one thing they don't tell you. They tell you in the books, but they don't tell you enough. It really is hard to see your girl in that much pain.
Yeah,
it's like it rips your guts out. Mm-hmm. It really does. And she's like, yeah, you know what hurts more than that is what I was going through. But it's like, from my end, it's like you just feel so helpless because you're a dumb idiot who's not a doctor,
right,
and doesn't know what everything means. And anytime the heartbeat, you can't hear it. You're freaking like I call it freak mode. You're in freak mode the entire time.
Freak mode, it's true.
Mr. Crab meme from the time you get in to the time you
to
leave and then some.
Max. To
but
the
you
max.
Also leave with a newfound respect for your wife and the amount of shit that she's willing to go through, because honestly, I mean, she obviously loves the kid that she just pushed out. And she did some of that for you, too, so you guys could raise a family together. So you look at your wife and you're like, damn, man, you're like, you're pretty fucking tough. Because I especially like in my wife's relationship where like I'm the combat Marine guy and like so, and then she's the pretty little college girl who's smart and she's young and attractive and pretty. And then
you're ugly.
And then
lame,
I'm the ugly
stupid
guy. With the, yeah. Like all those things. And then I'm like, you're pretty tough. And then now she's like, lots of dudes have gotten shot. No dudes have ever given birth, so I'm tougher than you. And I'm like, yes. I saw what happened. There was much more blood involved. Like, yours is way worse
than
mine.
There is nothing like the toughness of a mom in that moment. Because I feel like that's the moment where you probably have
and
your first mom
and
strength.
And they realize
mom,
it,
you know?
Too. Like, they realize, like, I feel like that was a big thing for my wife to go through for herself. Like,
I can
tough.
Do anything.
Like,
if
I can do this, I can do anything.
Right.
Seriously.
It's like when you hear the stories of, you know, the mom who lifts the car off the kid. Yep. It's like, this is the very first moment that baby's coming into the world, and she's going to go Hercules right now to make it happen. That, I can't, I would be like, I'd be so cocky afterwards. I'd be like, I'm the fucking best. You see what I just did? See what just happened?
Yeah.
That's what
carry
I,
these
that's
bags.
How I roll.
Of course I can carry these bags. I don't need your help getting groceries. Like,
dude, I'm going to do this in one trip.
One trip.
No, I don't need to make two trips. Don't you offend me like that. Yeah, that's out of all the pregnancy stuff that we're talking about, of how like your wife is going to be like, you don't know what you're talking about. You can't put yourself in my shoes. This is the pinnacle of that. There is no way, unless you've had kidney stones, because they all say that kidney stones is the comparable pain.
Let's pump the brakes.
Yeah, not as bad as they make it sound.
Honey, I'm not saying anything is comparable.
Oh, right, right. No. I mean, that's definitely do not go down that road. We sat like through the night. We got there at like 11 o'clock or something like that. We sit through. She gets a little bit of like dozing off while she has the epidural, while I sit there and just stare at the ceiling like tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. Our doctor comes in. She takes a look and she's kind of like, all right, we're, you know, going into that phase of active labor, which can take anywhere between, you know, right now or about, sometimes it can take 2 hours. And she does a couple other things, and then she takes another peek, and she looks at me, and she goes, you remember what I just said about 2 hours? And I was like, yeah. And she goes, that's not happening. And she's like,
it's go time. And I was like, wait, what? I thought I was going to watch Ted 3. I thought I had a whole other movie to watch. What do you mean it's go time?
There's another dumpster full of cum.
We just got to the rim job part. Come on, Doc. Give me a minute here. I'm just going to watch another episode of Lost or something. That when it's ready to go and it's push time and you're doing like the, you hold the hand and you might be doing the breathing. I don't know if you did the movie, the we were like, don't, they were told not to do that, and some people said to do that, and it's one of those things where like you prep for it and then in the moment I don't really remember what I did. I hope I didn't freeze up. I hope I was helpful. She said I was helpful. I don't know if she was just saying that to say that, but that is, I think, maybe a good word of advice for someone who's about to go through it is like, you're gonna, it's like everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth. Yep. You're about to get punched in the mouth.
Yeah, and
you're about to get a baseball bat to the mouth, and you have to be ready to take that and then still kind of put whatever plan into place that you had.
And that's one thing I think that a thing that a dad can do is bring the mom out, bring the mother-in-law together at the same time and be like, look, she wants you in there right now, but if things change, it's not about your feelings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The like, room, who's in the room? We mentioned it.
I think that's
a big issue.
That was one thing that I made sure that like my mother-in-law, my mom knew. Like, I'm not out for either one of your feelings today.
No, like, it ain't about you.
If I need to kick you out, if I need to kick Jesus himself out, he's getting out.
Right.
And so that's a good point. And usually the mom, it might hurt their feelings a little bit, but they'll understand.
Right, like that's a time where you really got to put your foot down and be like, I got to do this for my woman.
Yep. Especially if it's your mom that she wants out, because you know your mom's going to be crushed because it's her grandbaby too.
Yep.
But if wifey wants her out,
I almost
you gotta
think it
go.
Should just be a rule, because I feel like more often than not,
ours was just mom
just
and
you
dad.
Two. Yeah. What about you, Clem?
Ours was just her mom was in for a bit, and then it just was me and her
for the actual. Yeah, I mean, thing. I just feel like that should almost be like a rule, because every woman I hear is like that. So I'm like, why do we even? Does anybody have the mother and the mother-in-law in there? Because
we made it pretty clear that, and we had also promised our older daughter, like, nobody's gonna see McCartney
before
you do,
right?
Like, nobody, just me, mom, and then.
You'll be number
next.
One, yeah.
So, like, my grandma wanted to come in, my mom wanted to come in. I was like, nah, y'all need to stay out until Kelsey holds her, and Kelsey gets to be the next one to hold her. And then once Kelsey, like, had her in her arms, I was like, all right, now everybody else can come in.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably one of your duties is, alongside with the moral support and physical support of rubbing her and holding her, you're directing traffic. You're the party planner. You are who's on the guest. You're the bouncer. Who's on the guest list? Who can get in? Who can't?
The maitre d'.
Yes, exactly.
The maitre dad.
Yeah, no, look at that. Look at that. The maitre dad.
I feel like the hospital's scared to tell the mother and mother-in-law they can't go in, so they're just like, that's on you guys.
Yeah. It should be. Yeah, it should be, because every family dynamic is different, you know, so it's...
Yeah. No, which is, it's true, but it's definitely the time to, like, stand firm and make your wife happy. So that the process begins, and she was a fucking rock star. She also had through the whole pregnancy, she worked out more than I did. I mean, which is, if you worked out at all, one
so
time
she worked
you worked out.
Out
with me. Yeah, but she was that. She did bar classes like 4 days a week when she was max pregnant. And, you know, they say that kind of stuff can help with the pushing and the delivery. And I didn't know if I believed it. I don't know if it was coincidence or not, but I am willing to bet. I mean, she did. It was like 10 minutes. It was wild. She was go and out, which was really wild, because the doctor told me, like, all right, it's not going to be 2 hours, but I didn't think it was going to be that fast. So I don't know if you guys remember, like, that moment of, like, when your kid starts to break through and there's that, like, comes like shooting break. Out a little bit, you know?
Breakthrough.
And I was like, whoa! I like jumped back a little bit, like, holy shit! Like, there it is.
I think the scary part is when you see the head is all the way out, and you're like, can she breathe? And then you're like, ah, that umbilical cord thing, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's still working.
Which I still don't understand how the fuck that thing works.
I don't understand any of it, man. It's alien shit.
tubes inside of a big belly ball.
And breathing from there? Like, I don't get it.
No.
Are you breathing from there?
You're in fluid,
right?
But you're breathing.
I don't know, man. I never even thought of that before.
Because their mouths are all, like, full of fluid and shit.
Yeah, you're sitting in a sack of fluid. You got to get your oxygen somehow.
Old Gil-ass face.
I never even thought about the umbilical. I just thought you were, like, a straight-up fish until you came out, and then you're no longer a fish. I have no idea how it works.
Like a butterfly turning into a cocoon, caterpillar or whatever.
See, yeah. I'm completely different than you guys. I had a C-section, and we didn't know it going in. We went through.
You had one,
oh
or
my God?
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, babe. Sorry again.
Sure. Unfortunately, that is the worst that can happen, where you go through the whole process not knowing, and then have to do the C-section anyway. It's like, well, wish I knew that from the jump.
Yeah,
saved a lot of trouble.
Full
here.
Day of pushing, full day of labor, full day of contractions, full day of being in pain. Every like 2 minutes the heart monitor just goes beep because it's like resetting or whatever. So you're worried your kid's all right.
Oh my God. They need to fix that system.
Yeah. Yep. I think she was, I don't know if she was face down, but I think she was backwards where like the feet first as well. Mm-hmm. But I think the biggest part was she was upside down. And we were trying to move her and whatnot. They were doing all the tricks and not really working, and she's pushing. And did you guys hold a leg?
I think I did above the wall, but I think I did like a hook around
the
knee. Yeah.
I did the hook, and they go 1, 2, 3, and I need you to push. And then I'm a big guy, right? And I'm jacking my wife's leg up. And the other doctor's doing the other one, and she's pushing for whatever, 5 Mississippi. And then we stop until the next set of contractions comes. And then in the middle, again, you have a plan until you get punched in the mouth. Someone comes in breached, and they're delivering right now. So our doctor is basically going out and helping this emergency person that wasn't supposed to go, and we're by ourselves.
In your mind, it's an emergency where you're.
I was
going
to say, no. I'm sorry to those people out there. Come back over here, doctor.
Does dibs not mean anything anymore?
Shotgun, like what?
And at one point, my wife says, "They're like." She goes on the toilet, and she like we're pushing over the toilet just in case, and it was an absolute just. Circus show. I think we went through 2 epidurals and the entire day. And my wife is like just spent at this point. And she, like you said, absolute rock star. And even then at the end, she's like, I can't do it. I never thought about being a coach or being a tough guy. And I'm in her face. You can do it. I'm
but you love her.
Yeah, I love her. And I'm basically calling myself the biggest wimp of all time and calling her the toughest person of all time. We're just, you know,
which
we're
is
a team.
Exactly
you know
what, how you feel you know at the time.
And how it is, to be honest, right?
Yeah, just telling the truth there.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a good piece of advice, dad hack, whatever you want to call it. It's don't be afraid to be like super corny about it and give that like
motivational speech. But you're not being corny either. You're being like
genuine.
Like sometimes we get caught up, especially dudes like us who are pretty cynical by nature and pretty funny guys. Like we want to make fun of like lighter issues.
Yeah.
But you're not like, I feel like high stress situations is when your true character comes out, and that's as high stress as it gets, and that's as intense as it gets in life is watching a baby get born by the person that you love. Mm-hmm. So when you're like expressing all these emotions at high levels of emotion, that's when the truth really comes out.
Right.
So you can either say, I fucking hate you, or man, I love you. Like the things you're doing right now for me are incredible.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, that's the time to really let her know. Be over the top about it. You might feel like it's dramatic or whatever, but it's not. It's what they need in that moment. Like let it rip. Give your halftime speech. Be that guy.
If you have any time to be Nicholas Sparks, that's the time.
That's it. Yeah.
I was gonna say go to JJ Watt's Instagram and just start reading all his hashtags. You know, believe in yourself and this and that. And
strive for greatness. We'll be back from what?
Did you get? So Shay pops out, pull her up onto her chest right away. I'm like, oh my God, that's the baby.
I think this is the part where it could be basically bedtime.
Yeah, right? Okay, yeah.
This is the bedtime and delivery.
Yeah, bedtime stories. Wrap up the episode it's a bedtime story for me and just my usual, I don't know what to do. Shay pops out, going skin to skin. I'm like overwhelmed. She looks funny. She's weird colors.
So before we go on, skin to skin, for those that don't listen, like, and you're not like a parent, haven't, like, the doctors all tell you that it's very important for the baby to go skin to skin with the mother or the father
immediately,
right away, because they
as
establish
as
that like natural scientific bond.
So wait, did you have to do skin to skin because did that happen because of the C-section?
No, that was that was the whole. So we went. They basically, after that whole nonsense ended, where they were helping the other person. So she sits us down again. And she's like, "All right, guys," and we're like, "Oh, like what?" You know, like we, you know, we've been battling forever. We're like, we, you know, you get scared what's going on with the baby. It's been in there the whole time. All right, guys, think we're going to have to do a C-section. And it was like, yes.
Let's go.
And this is something, again, this is another tip out there. We didn't read. I go, did you read the C-section parts of the book? No. Did you read the C-section? No, we weren't having a C-section.
Right.
You don't know what's coming your way.
That's
you're gonna
true.
There's going to be stuff that you're not going to be ready for in that delivery room. There's going to be stuff you studied and you know everything about that's going to change. There's going to be stuff that you studied that's going to happen. There's going to be the coaching. You're not going to know what to do. It's going to all come out naturally because that's just the way humans evolve,
right,
for the most part. We went into the C-section room. My wife's awake during the whole thing.
Yeah, that's the craziest part.
And they're just... And there, I could like smell like I don't know what's
drill,
cutting.
That was a good drill sound effect.
And again, above the wall. So my wife's head is right in front of me. I'm looking at her. I'm coaching her, whatever. There's a big old sheet there, right? And that's protecting basically everything from maybe her belly button down. And they're just going to work.
Taking insides out and everything, right? They got to,
My wife is looking at the light, like it's almost like the light that you have for your dentist. She's looking at that, the reflection. She's like, I could see my insides. I'm looking straight at this. I'm basically burning a hole in the sheet. I'm looking at so hard, like I do not want to see anything. I'm looking at her in the sheet, nothing else. And she's looking up at them, move her organs. They're getting the baby, blah, 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 blah. They take the baby out. And we don't hear anything. And I'm like, what the hell? Because, you know, it's again, in the movies, you think one thing. You hear this in the book. The baby cries. I don't know what you
the
guys
baby
heard.
Comes out like 15 pounds and
perfectly clean and like smiling with teeth and talking. And no, that's not how it goes.
Why did my baby look like it came out of a brand new Tylenol bottle? Like, what is that shit covering?
right. Looks like some Kool-Aids all over or something.
Yeah. Oh, wet cotton candy looking thing.
Cotton candy ass. She had the quarter on her neck, too, my baby. So that was another reason we had
man,
it going.
You really went through it all.
The whole nine.
Kit and caboodle right
there. We hit them all. So they take her out. She doesn't say anything. They feel like my wife is like, doesn't know what's going on, but she's like, oh, she's out, blah, blah, blah. And in my head, I'm like, why do I not hear anything?
Yeah.
And she had swallowed her poop. Oh, so it's like that whole thing going. I forgot what they call that. There's like a term for it, right?
So very common.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though
very
it sounds
common.
Like, what? But it's like that actually happens.
And
do
she's
you
like,
roast her about that now or?
What?
Do you roast her about it now?
No. I don't. I always say to my baby, I say, you were full of shit since the day you were born. You know what I mean? I'll be saying that when she's getting older and lying to us about where she's going for the night, right? But they take her to the corner. I don't hear her crying. And I don't know. Did your kids look like grayish? Like she was like grayish, right?
Like purple, darker color. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just seeing this baby not saying anything gray. And I was freaking out. And it's 100% healthy. But then you hear the crying, and then it's like, and it just all washes over you. And the doctor said by mistake, they go, oh, he's doing good. I'm like,
wait,
whoa,
what?
Curveball.
Yo, that's not a mistake you can make.
No, it's not.
And they just always say everything. I'm like, yeah, doc, well, the rest of the freaking world does not just skull everything.
Yeah, we take pronouns seriously around
here. For real. Say it or something before you just choose a fucking
but because
gender.
It was because you had C-section baby, you also didn't have alien head baby.
Didn't have a perfect circle baby. Yeah. It was a beautiful thing.
My kids look like cone heads.
Did you have to do the suction thing at all? Because somebody was tweeting about us how, like, if you use that suction cup thing, you're really pulling that little mushy head out, and it comes out like alien head. So
yeah, mine
max.
Was,
yeah.
McCartney's was pretty bad. Yeah, but it wasn't. No, it wasn't like that.
I don't even remember. The head was as long as it was.
But
two eyes, a nose, mouth, ears. I was like, I don't care what the rest of it looks or shaped like.
You know, like when you're having sex, like you can do things that you would normally think would be gross. You know?
Yeah, like, oh, absolutely.
I feel like it's the same thing when your baby comes out. Normally, you're not going to kiss somebody that's covered with, like, insides. But when your baby comes out, you're like...
All up against
you're like,
you.
And, oh, my God, this is so wonderful.
Doctor turns to me, though. She goes, do you want to cut the umbilical cord? I was like, wait, what? No, I didn't. We didn't talk about this at all. Like, I think you should be doing any of the cutting and all of that stuff. Did you guys cut?
Oh, I cut.
You cut?
Yeah.
I cut afterward. Like, they had cut it because they had to get it out of her, but they did, like, the ceremonial cutting.
I didn't
cutting
do any cutting. Yeah, that's what it's like. The mayor's opening, like, City
Give
Hall.
Me big scissors.
Yeah, we're breaking ground here. I was like, any sort of medical things, I would rather you do it. I mean, obviously, it's very safe or whatever. You can do that. But I was just like, no, I'm good. You take care of that. All of that. And then give her to me.
That was a cutter for sure.
I walked back after I saw her, and I still have my wife there cut open. And I had to walk back with the baby in my hands. And I just spotted in the corner of my eye, like the placenta or whatever, just a giant ball of blood. It was freak. It was like something from Doom. Remember Doom, the computer game? That's what it was like.
But
so
then you take that
out.
Like a normal person and bring it in your backyard and plant an oak tree on it, right? Like all those psychopaths on Pinterest.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, dude.
Chaps, I thought you were going to tell me you did that.
I was going to say. And don't some people eat it and something like that?
Then you could take the umbilical cord and you can do like, you dry it out where it'll say like love and people putting it in like frames and stuff.
Yep.
To each their own. Everybody, it's all beautiful, but I'm about to throw up. I don't like that at all. Go plant your oak trees or whatever. That's not for me, though.
Not for us. No way.
And then that's it. That's the birthing process.
That's when your baby pops out.
And then you get to worry about having the nurse in your room for the next 2 days.
72 hours, whatever it is, yeah.
And then you get to go home.
And that's what we'll pick up next week. Once that door closes and there's no more doctors, there's no more nurses, it's just you, your wife, and your baby, and it's time to be a dad. Podfathers Episode 3 in the books. We'll see you next week.
Hey, all y'all scruples, y'all got to go. We taking over this club tonight. Lil Johnny Sideboy and Yay Yay. Let's get this thing crushed.